BBC
World Sport from the BBC with me, Steve Crossman. Coming up, we'll get the latest from the French Open tennis, where there was a scare for the women's world number one. England's cricketers wrap up a series victory against West Indies at Trent Bridge.
Samuels wanders in, turns his arm over, trot, flicks that away, down through fine leg. Those are the winning runs, and England win the second test match by 9 wickets.
And we'll have news on the latest turmoil to hit Italian football. But first, breaking news from the world of football. And Eden Hazard, one of the most highly regarded young players in world football, has announced on Twitter that he's signing for Chelsea. The Belgium international, who plays for Lille in France, has been heavily linked with the two Manchester clubs, but confirmed on Monday that London will be his next destination. Philippe Auclair is a journalist with France Football.
A 5-year deal, apparently, which will bring Lille, the club that he's actually started his professional career back in 2007, about €40 million, a huge sum for the French club. It's very strange, isn't it? It's the first transfer, football transfer I can remember that has been finalised on Twitter without any word coming from the club itself. And for one good reason, I'm not aware of the fact that he has passed his medical yet. We'll have to wait until he comes to England. As luck would have it, with Belgium playing against England at Wembley, the announcement, we are told, should be on the day following that England-Belgium game, which is on Sunday, and then he will become officially a Chelsea player.
Now, one of Italy's possible starting defenders for Euro 2012, Domenico Crescito, has been left out of the squad after police looking into allegations of match-fixing turned up at the team's training camp to warn him he was under investigation. The Italian Football Federation says he's been left out of the final squad to allow him to clear his name. Lazio captain Stefano Mauri has been arrested as part of the same investigation. And having only just led Juventus to the league title, their coach Antonio Conte is also among those being spoken to by police. Conte's lawyer says he's determined to prove his innocence. But the Italian football writer Paolo Bandini says more questioning is expected, but people are surprised at the fact that it's people at the top of the Italian game that are being drawn into the investigation.
Experience suggests it in Italy that you should never rush to judgment. These things often don't play out how people expect, but it is a major scandal. When you're talking about people of the stature of Antonio Conte, who is accused of having at least known about a couple of fixes during his time at Siena, but also the Lazio captain Mauri, you know, these are big people, these are significant figures in the Italian game, and it's sort of been a long time brewing, this scandal, so it hasn't caught anyone off guard. It's something that began last summer with some investigations into Serie B matches. This, you know, we're now talking about it being, I guess, lifted up a notch by simply the stature of the people who are now being investigated and who are now being charged.
England's Professional Footballers Association have backed former international defender Sol Campbell, who's warned fans of potential racist violence at this summer's European Football Championship. The former Arsenal and Tottenham player was reacting to footage screened by the BBC from domestic matches in the host countries Poland and Ukraine. The families of England players Theo Walcott and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain have already said they won't be going to the tournament because they fear racist abuse. Well, Nick Lowles from the United Kingdom-based campaign group Hope Not Hate says he's worried about the reception black and Asian travelling fans may get.
I think increasingly a positive thing about English football is that increasing numbers of black and Asian fans have been travelling and supporting England. I am concerned that they will be targeted by racists and fascists and anti-Semites in Poland and in Ukraine.
Football's European governing body UEFA says the clips the BBC have shown were from domestic matches and an issue for the country's football associations. They also say UEFA have a zero-tolerance approach to racism. To tennis now, and the latest from the second day of the French Open, our reporter Russell Fuller is in Paris.
Tuesday's mid-afternoon flight back to Minsk had been on Victoria Azarenka's mind as she faced 2 break points to avoid going a set and 5-love down to an Italian ranked outside the world's top 100. With the help of a bold second serve ace, she gradually turned the tide against Alberta Briante, and although the errors didn't evaporate entirely, she kept her emotions in check to rattle off 6 games in a row before taking the decider by 6-2. It was, however, an uncharacteristically poor opening effort, and won't worry the likes of the defending champion Linar or the third seed Agnieszka Radwanska, who cantered through to round two. The men's top seed Novak Djokovic had room to breathe after winning an erratic first set tiebreak against Potito Starace, his straight sets victory the first of 7 he needs to emulate Rod Laver and hold all 4 Grand Slam titles simultaneously. And Roger Federer equaled Jimmy Connors' record of 233 Grand Slam wins with a straight sets victory over Tobias Kamka.
Now, England's cricketers swept to a 9-wicket victory over West Indies in the second test at Trent Bridge to wrap up the 3-match series with a game to spare. Set 108 to win after bowling West Indies out for 165. England eased home thanks to Andrew Strauss's 45 and an unbeaten 43 from Alistair Cook. With the details from Nottingham, here's the BBC's Lee James.
On their own patch, England really do take some beating. Andrew Strauss's side won their 7 successive home series, but they were pushed harder than many expected by West Indies, and if it hadn't been for a crazy session when the tourists lost 6 wickets in quick time late on the third day, this contest would have at least gone the distance. Marlon Samuels continues to enhance his reputation, adding to his first innings century with another innings of controlled aggression for his unbeaten 76. And there were patches of real promise, with West Indies' limited bowling attack punching above their weight. The Caribbean cricket fans have heard all this before, and unless their brittle batters can deliver more runs, it will remain a case of so near and yet so far. For England, they chased their modest 108 target with ease, and may now decide to rest and rotate their bowlers for the final test at Edgbaston for the greater challenges that lie ahead. The last team to beat them in a test series on home soil was South Africa, who arrived next, keen to wrestle away England's number one test status.
Well, let's get some reaction from that victory now, shall we? The England captain, Andrew Strauss, told the BBC's Jonathan Agnew he was hoping for an easier contest, especially after the first innings.
Now to dig deep at times. West Indies played some really good cricket, but thankfully we were able to show a little bit more consistency, I suppose, in the end, and delighted to have won the series.
Do you feel that there are matches that you both could have won rather more ruthlessly, though?
There were positions in at Lords where we could have gone really big in our first innings. We weren't able to do that, and same here. But you've got to give them credit for that. They came in back into the game. They're always two sides playing the game. You know, having not taken as big of a lead as we would have liked to with the bat, I think our bowlers did an excellent job to have them 60 for 6 yesterday, and that put us in a really strong position to go and win it today.
Yeah. Your form, you must be absolutely thrilled, mustn't you?
Yeah, no, delighted to be back in the runs. You know, it's a lot easier when you feel in form, that is for sure. So I had to earn the right to get back into form at Lords, and I suppose you kind of ride on the crest of a wave for a bit when you have got 100 or two. The key for me now is to make sure that wave lasts for a long time.
Well, despite their defeat in the series, the former West Indies legend Sir Vivian Richards believes this young side do have a bright future.
If you do not have the proper technique to be able to work things out in certain conditions, these are the results you're going to have. West Indies need to do something about that. Listen, these guys are filled with ability. You know, these guys are filled with lots of ability. Take, for instance, young Paul in the first innings. If you cannot play, you're not going to get the 33. Mm. But he was organized up to 33. They'll need to work this out, and it's all about what you have mentally. And if you cannot get to grips with the mental side of things and what you got to equip yourself with in the middle, you got to look for another job, in my opinion.
Finally to golf, and the European Ryder Cup captain Jose Maria Olazabal has hinted that Paul Laurie could return to the team after 13 years away. Olazabal said the Scot was pretty much in after finishing joint runner-up to Luke Donald at Wentworth. Laurie's had a great year, having been ranked 272nd in the world. He picked up, and he's now finished second in 2 ranking tournaments and won the Qatar Masters. Before we go then, a reminder of our top story. One of the hottest prospects in world football has revealed on social networks site Twitter that he will be signing for Chelsea. The Belgium international Eden Hazard is expected to officially sign next Sunday. Well, stay with us if you can for further updates, but for now, that's the latest world sport from the BBC.